Episode 8, You Can Still Eat at Restaurants and Be Frugal.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Hey, welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast. I'm Jen.
And I'm Jill.
And we are back today to talk about saving money while eating at restaurants, because you can do that when you're frugal. You can actually eat at restaurants and still be considered frugal. How do you feel about that, Jill?
Oh, it makes me so excited. I love that we're talking about this because I love eating out. So I'm glad that we are not limiting ourselves or our listeners from going to restaurants.
Yeah, me too, because I hate dishes. That's what I hate. And I yes. actually don't love cooking. I think I mentioned this before. So I love
what
when somebody else cooks for me and does the dishes, and I'll pay money for that.
Mm-hmm. But does have value to me.
Yeah. For those of you who have never listened to the Frugal Friends podcast before, we are going to go through what the internet has to say about saving money in restaurants, what we agree with, and what we don't agree with or like at all. And that's what we're going to do today. Same as always.
Feels good.
Yeah. We just saw each other, Jill. And so I feel we recorded our last episode in the same room. So I feel alone right now.
I know.
More than I ever have before.
Especially probably, I would assume, because you are in the room that we were previously together mm-hmm. in. I don't have that luxury. So I'm just, you know, back in my room that I normally record in that you're never in. But you've got extra barriers over there.
Yeah, I do. But I can see your face through Google Hangouts, so we always have that.
Mm-hmm. And you always have the warm weather down in Florida to comfort you.
That's so true. It rained today, though.
Oh.
I had to drive back from Orlando this morning, and nobody knows how to drive when it's raining, obviously. And it was just a long drive in the rain and traffic.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, let's get into it.
Let's
I don't
do
want to keep complaining about the horrible weather in Florida.
Mm-mm. No one's going to feel bad for you.
Our first article today is from eatthis.com. It's Eat This, Not That. And it is 20 ways to lower your restaurant bill straight from employees. And I liked the opening to this article. I have to read it. It says, dining at restaurants while trying to save money on food may seem a lot like trying to lose weight while eating stacks of decadent cookies on the reg. And yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of true. You definitely, if you're trying to save money, you cannot be going to restaurants every week. Like, that's just not a thing, especially when you're trying to accomplish like a big financial goal in a short amount of time. That's just not a lifestyle you have the luxury of leading, or you have to change your goals.
Yeah, it is the biggest money sucker. Is that a thing? Mm-hmm. Because you have to eat so many stinking times in a day. So yeah, if you're going out a lot, that's a real easy way to lose some money.
Mm-hmm. And there's food shops and restaurants and stores everywhere. They're more prominent than like shopping malls and clothing stores. It's just everywhere. So you have to have some boundaries. And I like how they start this article out like with percentages and numbers. And they don't substantiate any of their claims. But it does say that there's a 400% markup on food that you eat in restaurants, which is like reasonable because it's served to you. They cook it. They clean up. They have to have the pretty place to serve you food. So you're paying for all of that. And again, if you're trying to reach a financial goal in a short amount of time, you have to pick up the legwork and unfortunately do that stuff yourself most of the time.
But, yeah.
So, but there are some ways that they said that you can save money at restaurants. My first one, my first favorite, as it usually is the first one. And that is take it to go. It actually says get it to go and size up. But I feel like sizing up, it could be good, like if you're trying to split it between two meals. But it could also, that will add up over time if you make it a habit. So I think if it's something you're doing once every so often, sure, go for the size up if it's available. But getting it to go saves you on tip. It they'll usually put more in the to-go container because it's just, it has more girth than a plate and they want it to look good. So they will definitely give you a little bit more and you can eat it in your pajamas at home, which I love. So that's why it's my favorite.
Right.
Do you get to-go food at all, Jill?
Yes, I do. I actually love takeout. So that was one of my favorite in this article as well, because for me, it keeps us from paying tip. I feel like that is our biggest area where we lose the most money is when we have to pay tip. Otherwise, it seems to be somewhat not incredibly cost effective as eating at home, but as we'll talk about more as we go through this article, Eric and I do split a lot. So if we're splitting and we're not paying tip, it tends to be a pretty frugal meal from a restaurant. So, and me too, Jen, I like to be able to curl up on my couch and eat in my pajamas.
Mm-hmm. And you can make it, you know, like romantic at home. I think that this one covers a few of the other things on the list too. Like the next one, skipped bottled water and sodas. You definitely do that if you get takeout. You can obviously skip the tip. You will skip like wine and alcohol. You'll skip dessert. You'll just look at it in a more holistic, like look at your bill rather than just being in the moment and kind of ordering whatever looks good to you. You can just kind of look at your bill up front and say, ooh, that sounds high. Let me take off those spring rolls and okay, then we're good. So I think it can save you a lot of money on multiple different areas. And, and I get to wear my pajamas longer.
Yeah. And you can also add on at home. That's something else that they mentioned in this particular tip. You can add on bread at home. You don't have to order the breadsticks. You can just toast up some bread or, you know, make up some extra pasta and add it to the sauce or just make it stretch or make up your own salad from the leftovers that you have. So you're able to stretch the meal a bit more and utilize what you have at home while also maybe purchasing something fun or a meal that you enjoy from a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if it's something that you don't feel is big enough to split, if you're getting something that can easily be stretched just by adding some extra rice or some extra pasta or one of those meal stretchers, then it's really easy to. And then you just double that batch and then you have more for the next day for a different meal.
Yep.
Little tips. How about you, Jill? What was your favorites?
I also liked number 9 and 10, which was ordering apps and then splitting an entree. So Eric and I, we both really like variety. So we will often do this just naturally where maybe we'll just order a couple of appetizers, maybe not even moving on to an entree, maybe just a couple of appetizers is our meal. So then we have, you know, three or four things to kind of pick at, rather than like one meal that you're stuck with that's probably more expensive than even like the three appetizers combined. And then also the splitting a dinner. not everybody does this. Some people even eat differently out. Like I know, Jen, you probably are able to speak to this being a pescatarian. And yeah, but Eric and I, we eat small portions and it does save us money and it is just super convenient with busy lives. So this is kind of the happy medium that we have found to split meals and eat just smaller portions so that we are able to then afford going out to eat.
Yeah. Travis and I have opposite diets. So He loves meat and hates fish and I'm a pescatarian. And so we can never get anything. The things that we can split are like pastas and pizzas and things that I don't want to order out because those are some of the only things that I can make. Everything else is fancy that I want to get all these like Asian cuisines and all these very unique things. And he's like, I want chicken wings. Mm-hmm. And it's so frustrating.
I'm so sorry. I mean, not to mention though, spending money on pasta and pizza out at a restaurant. That's like my nemesis. I mean, I love me some vodka sauce, but I just cannot bring myself to spend $16 on a pasta entree. Usually it doesn't even include a meat. I'm like, I know how much pasta costs and it is not $16. So for something that is super easy for me to make at home with a can of sauce, I'm not going to spend money on it.
Yeah, I have a really hard time going to Italian restaurants, even though I love the experience and the ambiance. Mm-hmm. I have the hardest time buying like penne and red sauce because I know I could get this. I could eat it for like 5 nights and get a bottle of wine from Aldi for the same price and I could eat forever.
Yep.
So I love to stick to, even if it's a little more expensive, stick to the things that I know that I cannot or will not make at home.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. And another one I liked, because I learned this, I didn't know about this until I read this article, was number 13, ask about status discounts. So I don't have any particular statuses that would save me money. I don't do anything special. But this guy says that during his years as a waiter, a lot of customers didn't know they were eligible for discounts and because the restaurant didn't advertise it. So students, militaries, teacher, any service profession would really be safe asking if there's a discount, because sometimes it's like 10 to 15% off. And I'm sure there are websites you could kind of search for the corporate ones, but it's worth asking your waiter wherever you go.
I should start asking if they offer social worker discounts. It is always for the police officers and the teachers, but come on. Social workers are the real heroes.
MVPs. I should start asking if they have any like starving artist discounts.
Yeah.
Do you offer discounts to writers? No? Okay.
I mean, and police officers get such a bad rap for how often they're at coffee shops. But I mean, come on. I mean, coffee shops, you know, donut shops and Dunkin' Donuts. But I would be too. And they get it for free. Like, that's why they're there. They are able to get whatever they want for free at certain you know, Dunkin' Donuts, different places will offer that. So yeah, I would be too. So
yeah. And nobody's shoving a gun in my face. So they deserve all of the free things and the discounts that they are offered. I'm just going to keep asking until I find somebody that's going to give me a discount just for asking, which is number 11. I know that you have more things that you feel about this article, Jill, and we'll get to you eventually, but I have
you speak your piece.
I have a lot of feelings about number 11.
Yeah,
because I used to be a server and a bartender, and so number 11 is talk to your waiter, and because it says if you talk to your waiter maybe they'll give you like free stuff, and I feel like talking to someone is just common decency, and you should not expect free things for being a decent human being. I don't
Preach.
Know. Yeah. But I have received free tastings from servers if like I had seen them outside of the restaurant and I just like ran into them and be like, hey, you are from, you know, so-and-so from this place and oh, it's good to see you. And they'll, you know, they know that we're decent human beings outside of this restaurant experience. But inside a restaurant, like that's their business and they're like, you shouldn't expect them to give you free things just for being a nice person.
I'm with you on that one.
You should just be a nice person.
I don't think I've ever really gotten anything free just because I asked the waiter what they suggest. And that's what this article is saying. Like,
yeah,
ask them what they like and then maybe they'll give it to you for free.
No,
that's not the real world.
Yeah, I have gotten one time I did get something for free, like a little dessert from this girl. But it wasn't because we asked her what her like favorite things on the menu was. We were asking her things about her life and we were like having, you know, short, genuine mm-hmm. conversations. And yeah.
But don't bank on that for your yeah. money saving outing.
It should not be your rule of thumb.
Yeah. If I can smooze this girl, maybe I'll get something free. No.
And that is what people reading this are going to be like. Because I also had, I'm sure that this came from some kind of like article or a person that teaches personal finance and videos that tried to get a discount when I worked at the Gap on clothing. His daughter was buying all this clothing for her son. And, he would not take no for an answer that I was not going to give him a discount just for being, well, A, he wasn't being a nice person, and B, he was not convinced that there were no discounts I could give him, even if I told them, like, I'm like 17 years old and I work at the Gap. Like, what kind of pull do you think I have here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. My dad definitely tried to pull that at Saks Fifth Avenue in California for my prom dress.
Oh my gosh.
He's like, I'm going to try and barter. You can barter anywhere. And I'm like, yeah, on the streets mm-hmm. of Thailand. Yeah. Not in Saks Fifth Avenue.
You can't barter everywhere. And that includes restaurants.
You would have some people disagreeing with you, but
oh my gosh.
It was super uncomfortable. I'll say
right?
that much.
Oh, I'm sure. I felt uncomfortable listening to it because it gave me flashbacks of that Gap incident. It scarred me.
Yeah.
But yeah, be a nice person and don't try and scam people for free stuff. It's more of that story. All right. Moving on.
Yeah, I agree with number 16 on this, which is search out the happy hours. We
yeah.
took full advantage of this last week when we came to see you, Jen.
Yeah.
And St. Petersburg has a plethora of happy hours happening. So hopefully for our listeners, you are living in an area where this is available to you. But happy hours generally include half off appetizers, like $2 to $3 drinks, and occur between like 4 and 7 sometimes. So it really is over that dinner time period. So definitely taking advantage of those is one of our go-to tips for eating out, but on a budget.
Mm-hmm. And I think we both found that Yelp is totally unreliable for finding
yeah.
the best happy hours. It takes either walking around the downtown area or the area that you want to eat at. Or I found that Googling the city plus happy hours gave me websites that had all the happy hours. And really we just wanted to find like cheap tequila. So I just searched on the webpage like Well, which most of their happy hours are just going to be on Well drinks or mm-hmm. appetizers like app. And see, and then you don't have to read the entire thing. If it's just going to be like, you know, $2 off of this $12 glass of wine happy hour. You can just go down the list and see and jump to every restaurant that has a well or an appetizer like discount on their happy hour.
Yeah, finding them can take a while, but once you do,
then you know.
It's beautiful.
And then you go to the same one twice in 1 week.
Yep. And then I also like number 19 on this one, which is eat a snack. So before you go, don't go starving. If you're able to control this and like eat a granola bar or an apple or have a few chips before you go, then you're less likely to go in guns blazing. Like, yeah, I need two appetizers and an entree and we're definitely getting desserts. So we might as well order it now. It can definitely help you to just order one thing and not let your eyes be too big for your stomach.
And then your stomach grows real big from doing
right.
that.
Right. Or your wallet shrinks real small.
Both. yeah. I have to share the story from Sunday when so Travis and I were going to this free Yelp event, and it's like free food, free drinks. And I highly recommend this, if you have Yelp in your city or you live near a city with Yelp, they do events, and our city does one per month and then one big one every year. So I definitely check out the Yelp app and check out their events to see when you can go, because it's free drinks, free food. It's fantastic.
Yeah. When you told me about this, I was like, what? That's amazing.
It's so nice. It's a night on the town for free, essentially. And they want you to donate to the charity of choice, but like, that's great. I'll do that. And so we went, and it was like fairy tale themed. And I was like, oh, I'll wear this bridesmaid's dress. It's pink. I haven't worn it since the wedding I was in. And it took three of us to zip it up on me. And I was like, I just wore this 2 years ago and it was fine. It's probably from eating at too many restaurants.
It looked good on you still, Jen.
It looked good, but I couldn't breathe.
And yeah, well, you know, it's a small price to pay.
Yeah.
That's beauty for you.
Yeah, I know. And I was so sad the whole time we were there. And Travis is like, are you sad about the dress? Is that why you're not eating? And I was like, partially, but partially because it hurts to breathe.
There's no more room in here. Yeah,
I wish there was. I wish I was wearing like a spandex dress, which I guess is what I've been wearing for the past 2 years. Spandex and pajamas. Know.
All this eating in and avoiding paying waitresses.
No, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with my body. I've let myself go.
Doesn't look like it from here, Jen.
Thanks. So yeah, I also like the eat a snack suggestion. Just full circling. I was thinking I usually eat a protein bar. If I'm going to eat at a happy hour and I don't want to eat a full lunch, I'll have like a protein bar for lunch and then like go to dinner at happy hour.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah. All right.
Moving on
to our next one. It's from the Simple Dollar. And I actually liked this one a little more. It's 15 strategies for saving money at restaurants. And the reason I like this one more, because it started with my very favorite tip for saving money on things. It's buy gift cards at retailers that discount them. This is something I cannot believe more people are not doing. So everybody buys like Groupons and Living Social like deals. That's a very common practice in saving money on restaurants. And that's great. We do that too. Pretty much like once every other month, we'll just find a Groupon and it helps you to plan. And then you avoid that. Where are we going for dinner? What should we, you know, do for date night? That whole thing. But gift cards, they never expire. and they can be discounted like 20, 30, even 50% depending on where you get them. So they suggest restaurant.com is good. It seems kind of sketchy if you look at it, but it is a legit website. They do legitimately offer discounted gift cards. And I believe those ones do expire, I think. And it is a legit website that I have used. And it's been around for a long time.
Restaurant.com, though, it's more of purchasing a coupon than it is purchasing a gift card.
True. It is more similar to Groupon.
Yeah. You're more like getting maybe $2 off $10 that you spend. It's still worth looking into. And actually, we sometimes through T-Mobile, they have T-Mobile Tuesdays where you just get free things sent to the T-Mobile Tuesday app. And restaurant.com is a common one that happens. So I will often get $25 to spend at restaurant.com through my cell phone carrier. And so then you can put that money towards something. Then you still have to go to the restaurant and spend some money. So let's say you have $25 to restaurant.com. You would maybe use $10 of that towards $10 off of a purchase of $20 or more, something like that, where like you are still spending money, but then you're saving a percentage, maybe 15, 20% you're saving.
Mm. Restaurant.com did used to have like really deep discounts.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't bought from them in a while. The other one they recommend is cardpool.com. And so I'll use giftcardgranny.com because it aggregates all of the gift card resellers, including Cardpool. Mm-hmm. And you can find so many discounted gift cards. And it's not like super high discounts. I'll find between 10 and 12%. And that's super helpful. Again, if we are coming in late from somewhere or just so tired I can't cook, then we automatically know, like, here are the three places that we can get food from. And it's not like what do you want to eat? Well, what do you want to eat? It's like, I'll eat whatever you want to eat, but I will also eat wherever you want to eat. So that is a conversation, even though Travis and I have opposite tastes, which is funny. You'd think that we just have a few down that we can, very few restaurants we can both eat at. But for some reason, we still have that conversation whenever we don't have a gift card.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then this one I didn't know is a warehouse club like Sam's or Costco will sell gift card bundles at a discount. I did not know that because I don't have a warehouse club membership.
Oh, it's real. It is real. I don't have a membership either, but I go with either my mom or my mother-in-law. And you can buy $100 worth of gift cards to a place for $80. And they'll even have movie tickets and that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of movie tickets, we did buy my brother-in-law and sister-in-law like a AMC gift card for Christmas. And they were discounted from Gift Card Granny.
That's amazing.
We bought them discounted gift cards for Christmas.
Good job.
Yeah.
Well, so, they didn't know until now. Yeah, so
I know if you're looking for Christmas gifts, there you go. That's
yeah, really. I think that's kind of what they intend. And at places like Sam's Club or Costco, usually it's to higher end restaurants in your area. So it's sometimes even tailored to what's around you rather than chains, which is nice too.
That is cool. And then they're like, why did you get me a gift card for like $26.31? And I'm like, because I calculated that was exactly what you would order if you went there. And I just wanted to make sure that I didn't pay for the tip.
Ooh, which that is, an important side tangent. So with gift cards, I'm going to hope that I get this right. They will, so this is kind of a scam that can happen with gift cards. So it's good to be aware of it. They will factor in a buffer for tip. So on some gift cards, they will not allow you, they will not allow it to be charged all the way up to a certain point, like when it gets swiped by the waiter. A lot of times this will happen, you know, you'll think you have $26.71 left on your card, and then they come back to you and, you know, it only took $19, and you're like, well, I definitely thought that it was 26, but maybe it was so long ago that I was just wrong. And then people just leave them when there really is that $6 or $7 more in addition left on the cart. I forget what it's called, and I can link an article about it in the show notes. But, for whatever reason, some, especially to direct restaurants. Like, I remember this happened at like a Texas Roadhouse or something where it would not charge all the way up to the maximum that was left on the card. Like, they would have had to swipe it a second time.
For the tip, because they won't take the tip out?
Right. Well, so the way that it's supported, you know, by the companies that are doing this, they're saying like, we do that so that you can then add tip onto it and cover your tip that way. But really it's a scam, because people are just assuming that, oh, maybe it wasn't for the amount that I thought it was, and we'll just leave it, and then the company can bank those extra dollars. So really being aware of like how much you have on it, and then having the waiter swipe it a second time, because it won't always charge up to the maximum that's on the credit card. So that's a pretty big deal in my mind.
Like, where would you get these cards from?
Usually it's direct to the restaurant. So like I said, this happened to us at Texas Roadhouse. I'm not sure if, like, you know, your Visa, MasterCard gift cards do this. And like I said, I'll link an article in the show notes. It just reminded me of that.
So
definitely
sketchy.
Something to be aware of. I know. I don't know how. Ugh. I mean, they can get away with it, you know, by saying so that you can add tip on to it, but it's a big old scam.
Yeah. Ugh. That's gross.
I'm disgusted.
I haven't encountered that. So we always ask for gift cards. And so I haven't encountered that with any gift cards that have been purchased at Publix, because for some reason people buy us a lot of gift cards from Publix, which is a grocery store here.
Yeah, you guys are obsessed about Publix down there.
Yeah, we are. And I have not had that happen to me ever. I also don't eat at Texas Roadhouse. So I don't know if it's a common thing, but that is definitely a sketchy thing that people should know about.
Right. Yeah. Be aware. So if you're pretty sure, no, I think there was this amount on there, you're probably right. And there's probably some limit that it's not going up to the full amount for whatever reason. So.
Yeah. How about you, Jill? Tell me about your favorite.
Yeah. So I liked and some of these can seem so obvious, like, yeah, of course you would do this thing, but it's worth mentioning for people who just want reminders and to be spurred on to make these types of frugal decisions. But number two was choose a restaurant with free appetizers and then order a smaller entree, or take your entree home with you. And at first when I read this, I was like, yeah, right. What place offers free appetizers? And then I kept reading and I was like, oh yeah, that does happen. So Mexican restaurants will often offer chips and salsa when you first arrive, or various restaurants will offer free breadsticks when you first arrive. Mm-hmm. So taking advantage of that and eating those things that they put in front of you, and then eating less of what you order, or ordering something smaller, is definitely a money-saving tactic.
Yeah. And if you go there for lunch, which is also a money saving tactic, is go out for lunch, not dinner. They'll give you, you know, like a free side or a free salad. And that's a really good, if you're worried about like the healthiness of Cheddar Bay biscuits, which you shouldn't, because they're God's gift to the world. So
they are
healthy.
So good.
Yeah.
And Aldi has one of those boxes that you can make at home too.
I saw that, and I haven't brought myself to do it because it takes three people to zip me up into a dress from 2 years ago.
Again, the third person that you're referring to is you. It's not quite fair to say three people.
I participated though. I participated with the pulling and sucking in.
And the sucking in.
And the breath holding. So I was part of it. Yeah. Still, that is two more people than it should have taken me.
So I was all right with it.
Yeah. Thanks for your help.
Yeah.
I also like number four. Seems like we're just going down the list right here.
Yeah.
Checking coupon flyers and other sections in the Sunday newspaper. So I don't necessarily check the newspaper. I just check online. And I'm pretty sure I mentioned this in our clothing episode. Maybe I didn't, but I will always check before I get into line, or like before I go into a restaurant, if there are any coupons or discounts available. That way I know what to order and I don't get wrapped up in the conversation or eating experience that I forget to check. So before the meal starts, coupons are checked for. Like we did this with Eric when you were gone, Jill. We went to a Chinese buffet and on the way over there, I was checking. All I had to do was download the Valpak app. And I had like a $2 off coupon. And all it took was like, you know, a few minutes of searching and a minute to download this app.
Yeah. Which is nice when you're getting chauffeured around. You can do that. It can be like the personal assistant getting deals on restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good one. I appreciated number 14, which talks about portion control. And we've touched on this a bit, but restaurants a lot of times will give much larger portions than what you need or what you should be eating. And so portion control, it's a similar concept to splitting meals, but eating less of what is served to you and put in front of you could also mean figuring out your lunch for the next day. So whatever, you know, if you split that in half and you kind of cut yourself off at that halfway mark, then you've got a meal for the next day and you can feel better about going out to eat because you made it two meals instead of one.
Yeah. And if you struggle with that, I will just ask for a to-go box like right at the beginning of the meal and then put half in the to-go box and just be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I do it. Yeah. And the rest of these were pretty much the same as the other article. Both of them mentioned following your favorite restaurants on Facebook and Twitter. I don't necessarily love that, just like I don't love signing up for their email list because I think that just those big companies will spend a lot of money pumping ads. And so you'll see them more often and then you will crave them more often. And obviously the best way to save money on restaurants is eating at home. So, I mean, that's the straightest way to put it. So you don't want to tempt yourself, but if there is a special occasion or there is a night where you can't or don't want to cook, and most of the time, it's not that you can't cook. It's that you don't want to. I get it. I'm there with you. I'm not judging. But you don't need the temptation. We already see enough ads every day on the internet. We don't need to be tempted by Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and emails too. So yes, you might miss out on a few coupons. But I think you'll save a lot more money in the long run if you just keep that negativity out your life.
And just buy Jen's book, Meal Planning on a Budget, and you'll be challenged and inspired and motivated to get your life in order on meal planning and prepping and cooking. And it's attainable. You're welcome for that plug.
I'm so glad you read it while you were here. I know, that was... It's a short read. And yeah, I'm super passionate about this because I wrote a book about it because I hate cooking and meal planning and prepping. So I was like, I, on behalf of everybody else who is like me, I need to write this so that we can all relate and get better about it.
It did inspire me. It's amazing how reading about it, talking about it, engaging in the topic is really inspiring me to continue making frugal decisions. Like I know these things, but I didn't realize the power of engaging with it often to motivate me and prompt me in doing these things. So while a lot of what you and I are talking about, Jen, in these episodes is not new information to me, I notice myself making these decisions more often because it's at the forefront of my mind. And you see that other people are doing it, and then you get excited as you remember the times that you did do that thing, like meal plan and prep, and it worked out really well for you. And so, yeah, I forgot about that. I want to do that again. And actually, this is mine. Jen, you can see me because I'm on Google Hangouts. This is what I worked on before our little podcast today. Yay. I am meal planning. I had an hour. And so I thought to myself, I'm going to meal plan. I'm going to look what we have in the freezer. I know that this is a restaurant episode, but I think it goes hand in hand to be able to cook well at home so that you then are able to go out and make going out something special.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow,
proud of you. Proud of
you. But that's my plug to you, because I really, really did enjoy your book, and it did. It inspired me and motivated me to get going.
Yeah.
The meal prep.
It's called Meal Planning on a Budget, and it's available in paperback and Kindle on Amazon, and we'll include a link to it in the show notes.
Yeah.
I've said that quite a few times in the past. Cool. So Jill and I want to share with you a few of the things that we do that were not mentioned in those articles. And not because we're better than the Simple Dollar, because we just do different things. And that's why we made this podcast, not to regurgitate what other people are saying, you know?
Yeah.
That's... I'm waiting for you to respond to make that not seem mean.
We have our own thoughts. We are original in some ways.
Yeah. All right. So first, I just wanted to clarify. So yes, the best way to save money on restaurants is to not eat at them. But I've had a lot of what I call frugal guilt. And it's, I love eating at restaurants. It's something I really enjoy because I'm not that great of a cook, and I'm trying, I'm getting better, but there are still things that I enjoy eating that I just cannot make, or I do not have the equipment to make, nor do I want to have that equipment.
Right.
And so there are a lot of things that I love to eat out. And I also, being a frugal person, have guilt when I want to go to these places, because Travis could care less about eating out. That's not one of his favorite things to do. He could eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day. Mm-hmm. So I feel guilty for wanting to eat out and spend the money on these things. And I have found that the only thing that solves it is budgeting for it. Mm. And we talk about budgeting like it's this restrictive thing or this thing you need to manage your money. But it's also an emotional thing. And nobody talks about the emotional side of budgeting. But mm-hmm. when you budget in for restaurants as a source of entertainment, which it is, restaurants are not under the food category in our budget. They're under the entertainment category. Then I can go to a restaurant and know that we have both agreed that this is a place we want to spend our money on. And it's something that both of us truly enjoy. Because, you know, Travis doesn't, you know, he likes other foods too. But budgeting is the only thing that has helped me control that frugal guilt that I feel. So I think that's like good to note. Because I think even if restaurants aren't your like frugal guilt thing, there are other things for other people. And it's just another aspect of having a budget that's so important.
Mm-hmm. There is freedom in having a budget.
Mm-hmm.
It's also freedom in making money so that you can budget. So that's important.
It is, Jill. Yeah. And also when you plan for those things, so you a way to budget in restaurants into our budget is to plan when we want to go to restaurants. Because that means sometimes you can give yourself like $75 budget for restaurants and you blow it in the first week because, hey, new month, new me, I'm going out 3 times. And then, you know,
is that another thing that you're just seeing what sticks? New month, new me.
Yeah. Okay. I hope that the Facebook group will tell me when I say something catchy. So I'm just going to throw them all out there.
Until someone's like, hey, I want that on a shirt.
Yeah. Or a bumper sticker. I'm hoping people will want our sayings on bumper stickers.
Ugh, I've got a rant for bumper stickers, but not right now.
Save that for the car episode. I can't handle it right now. Yeah. But like when you plan for when you're going to go out to eat, then you can A, get those discounted gift cards or Groupons. B, not be tempted to go out to eat in a day where you don't really need to go out to eat. And C, you will stick to your budget because you know you can predict better what you're going to spend at these restaurants. So I know that planning in restaurants is not always an option, but 90% of the time it is. And it's like, if you know you're going to be eating at restaurants during the month, like if you ate out 18 times last month, don't put on your budget that you're not going to eat out at all this month. Like, know thyself. Can we put that on the bumper sticker?
I don't think you came up with that one.
Dang it. But so, yeah, that's how I feel about budgeting and planning as they relate to restaurants. I think it's integral. If you are not cutting out all of the entertainment like portions of your budget, because some people do, some people like will only do free forms of entertainment. If that is not the way that you're going to do life, then you just need to put restrictions on it and plan better and actually put it in the budget. Be realistic with your budget.
Yeah, being realistic.
Yeah.
That's a good one. You could put that on a bumper sticker. Be realistic. Oh,
thank you. Thanks for giving me one, Jill.
Yeah, you're welcome.
How about you?
So I don't have as many as you do. One of my biggest things is the kids menu. And so some of you, this is one's going to fall flat. I do eat a little bit like a bird. So this works for me, but also they are giving some large portions on the kids menu.
Kids are large nowadays, Jill.
These days. I know. And this is why. I'm like, the kids portion is all that I need. And again, yes, I do eat like a bird, but still, a 5-year-old does not need that much food. Anyhow, so some of my specific go-tos with this one is like Chick-fil-A. You can get a 6-piece nugget and fry, and then you can trade out the toy for ice cream. So that's one of my tricks, and that's about $4 as opposed to your $6 or $7 meal. And I have noticed that because their waffle fries are so big, the way that it goes into it, I do have certain places like down to a science, the way that they put it into their fry container, it's really not much different in size from their small fry. Their kids fry is pretty much the same as their small fry. So don't be fooled. You can get enough food from the kids menu. And I mean, also don't be rude. There are some places that will say kids menu for 12 and under. Be respectful. That's 12. My plug. But a lot of places won't specify, and you can save $2 to $3 just by ordering off the kids menu. And usually it's enough. And hey, you can always order more food if you're still hungry, but better to start by saving money than by spending it.
So true. So yeah. True.
What other tips do you have up your sleeve there, Jen?
Our favorite of all time, Jill. I saved the best for last.
Yes.
And you got to experience this with us. It is the magic of mystery shopping. And if you have not heard of mystery shopping or secret shopping, it's really great for people who have an eye for detail. And who can focus pretty well on multiple things at once and are capable of, moderate writing skills. So you can sign up for multiple different companies, and each company will specify what they specialize in or which companies they work with. And you can get really great meals, eat them, and then be reimbursed totally for them. And most places will pay you on top of that, usually just like $10 to $15. But like, we have gotten paid to eat at some really great restaurants. And we get to, like, we're just getting random checks in the mail. Usually it takes 4 to 6 weeks to be reimbursed. And it's so fantastic. We eat places we wouldn't have normally eaten. We eat places we wouldn't have been able to afford to eat at. And it is something you have to have money for initially. Like, you still have to budget those in, but you can budget in knowing that you will be reimbursed either next month or the month after.
Yeah. Are you able to share some of the websites that you go on to mystery shop?
Yeah, I can share them in the show notes, but I know popular ones are Coil Hospitality, Best Mark, Customer Impact, Confero. But I wrote an article about it, and I will post that in the show notes for people to get started with mystery shopping. It's so easy. Like, you do a few pictures. You'll pay attention to how full the restaurant is, how loud the music is, how you'll time between like when you walk in and you're greeted, from when you order to when it's served. So stuff like that. And then for most of the meal, you're just enjoying it and eating it like you normally would. It takes like up to an hour when you get home to submit the special, like, it's a series of questions and then a few narratives.
Yeah. Worth it though for a free night out.
Yeah. I mean, and if you're going to a place, it's like you're getting $35 reimbursed and $10 paid. You're essentially making $30 to $45 in an hour. Like, 'cause I don't count the actual time at the restaurant to be working time.
Right. Yeah. You're eating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's all I have, Jill.
Yeah, I think that's good. That covers it.
Cool. I love restaurants, and I've been waiting for this episode. And yeah, I love, as I said, not doing the dishes.
Seriously, there does come a point where it's just not worth it to me to plan, prep, grocery shop, cook, clean. My time is valuable to me, at least. And I do think that it is worth money to me. So what may take me 3 hours in total to do, especially because my schedule can be so crazy. I'm not getting home till 8 o'clock, a lot of nights. Yeah, to actually cook and do all that, it's just not worth it. So to split an $8 burrito and just bring that home, and, you know, that's $4 a piece. So yeah, that's worth it to me to not spend then my entire evening at home cooking and cleaning. It's just not worth it to me. I eat to survive.
So true. It's all about that law of diminishing returns. So when you're first starting out and it takes you longer to meal plan, longer to cook, when it's more of your energy, then it's worth only meal planning for like 2 or 3 days a week.
Yeah.
Or then like just planning cereal for those other nights. I don't know.
Yeah.
And you just, the more you do it, the better you get. And the less and less you will rely on eating out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for hanging out with us, guys. If you like the message we're spreading, you can support us by leaving a review on iTunes and subscribe to get new episodes every Frugal Friends Friday. And join our Facebook group at frugalfriendspodcast.com/group. And you'll get in on more discussion on the episode and tips from the community.
Happy Friday.
Yes.
Frugal Friends is produced, edited, and mixed by Eric Sirianni.
you know me. my downstairs mix up. Have you ever seen that video, Old Greg?
Oh, yes. Do you love me? Could you learn to love me?
Do you love me? You see my downstairs mix up.
Yes. Oh, it's so weird. And it goes to like some really weird places. But man, do I enjoy it. You see my downstairs mix up. I'm Old Greg.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
All right.
Okie doke.